From the Utah School Counselors Association, this is The Sounding Board, where school counselors share ideas. I'm Nate Webb, school counselor, USCA board member, and every week I'll be speaking with different counselors and professionals that will be giving us valuable information in our counseling world. We cannot wait for you to hear these ideas. Let's get to it.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. How the heck is everyone doing? We got less than a month left of school. Is that crazy? I think that's crazy. And that means even less than a month of The Sounding Board. After the school year is over, we will be taking the summer off. We'll be taking a break. We'll be stepping back. And will we come back for another great season? Time will only tell, but I really hope so. Today, however, we are going to be talking about standardized testing season. Oh, the bane of our existence. Most of us are in the middle of standardized testing season. Some of us are through with it, and most of us are just emotionally done with it. And it can be a very stressful time of year for students, for teachers, for counselors alike. And so today, I want to talk about the purpose of our so beloved standardized tests and how we can help students manage the stress that comes with it this time of year. Now, first and foremost, I am definitely one person who does not believe standardized tests is a good measure of whether or not a student is smart or not. Some people are good test takers, some are not good test takers. You know, case in point, people aren't using the ACT anymore for college admittance, largely because it's not a good predictor of college success anymore. And so similarly, if your student is low standardized test scores, please don't get down and on them. They just might struggle with tests. They might be a really smart kid. And so I just wanted to put that out there first. But what is the purpose of standardized tests? Standardized tests are used to set national and state policy for education reform, informal local decision making, identify like accountability measures, and make decisions regarding resource allocation. Now, of course, standardized tests also lead to very public ranking of student groups and schools. And the comparisons abound, right? This is where students and schools start getting ranked from best to worst, rich to poor, everything. And it can be really, really hard on kids to be identified as the dumb school, to be identified as the poor school, to be identified as a school that is struggling. And then it can also, you know, go the other way where students get prideful and a little too much to the point of bullying other kids because they are the rich school, they are the smart school, and everyone else is beneath them. And so that part of standardized tests is frustrating for a lot of educators because they see students treating each other badly and adults treating other schools badly because of the school that the kids are in, because of, you know, the label the school's been given because of these standardized test scores. But standardized test scores in Utah, they also help determine federal grant money for schools. State officials use RISE, one of the test scores, the standardized tests, to calculate annual letter grants for schools, teacher evaluations, and federal grant money. Utah, actually, the school funding mainly comes from state income tax and property tax revenue. And in 2023, Utah applied for a waiver for the 15% carryover limitation for Title I funds. And in May of 23, the flexibility waiver was actually approved, allowing Utah LEAs to carry over 15% or more of their Title I funds for the 2023-2024 year. And that's a big deal. And a lot of those funds are based off of your scores from your standardized tests. And those test standardized tests, you see a lot of Utah Performance Assessment System for students, UPASS, and you also see Readiness Improvement Success Empowerment, and that's RISE. And you also see Aspire Plus. But even though these test scores, right, they don't count, quote unquote, against the student's grades, right? They don't. Teachers don't put it against their grade. Schools never do that because it's against the law. But it affects the financial well-being of the school. And it affects whether or not they get grant money and all these other things that we mentioned. And so principals, they're a little stressed out because the district's pressuring them to have good standardized test scores so that they can receive their grant money. And so the principals, they are, you know, making sure their teachers know that we need to have good test scores and, you know, get your students at a good spot. And the teachers are like, okay, we got to get these students at a good spot because my boss wants me to. And so, you know, everyone's feeling pressure from one place or another. you know, the principals are feeling it from the district, and the teachers are feeling it from the principals, the students are feeling it from the teachers, and the parents are feeling it from the students. And, you know, it's an ecosystem totally of stress. And so first, we're going to need to manage that stress, because that stress is going to be there no matter what. No matter how great of a school you're at, no matter how great of a school that, you know, your kid is at, the kids are going to be stressed this time of year. Tests can be scary, especially at the very end of the year. That's the last thing kids want to be doing, is wasting their time away taking a bunch of tests. And so, just briefly, this isn't going to be a super long episode, but I want to talk about some strategies for students, as well as strategies for teachers and parents when it comes to this stressful time of year, because I know all of you have people coming into your office stressed out of their minds because of standardized tests, and parents who are wanting to opt their kids out of the standardized tests, which is their right, that's fine, but it can be a very stressful time of year. So, I'm just going to go over some strategies for students and parents and teachers. Let's go through the strategies for students. One, obviously, there's for when kids get anxious and stressed. You guys probably all know a bunch of these up the wazoo, but this is just 10 quick ones off the top of the head. One, practice deep breathing exercises, you know, encouraging students to practice deep breathing, such as, you know, the diaphragmatic breathing or box breathing, where you know, take a couple, you know, in up on the upslope and out through the across slopes, and then the whole time you're snapping or keeping a tempo so that they're consistently breathing in and out. But breathing oxygen, shocker, it helps to calm their minds and to reduce stress. Oxygen, shocker, I know, it helps to reduce stress. Another one, prioritizing self-care. Remind students the importance of self-care activities like getting enough sleep. Yeah, that's a big one, especially with smartphones. Kids are not getting in enough sleep. They're getting to bed super, super late because of smartphones in the room. Sleep is going to help them tremendously in everything. But also eating nutritious meals. The high school that I used to work at, they had like a gas station, a market of sorts right across the street. And I actually don't know how that particular marketplace thing exists, just because it does sell alcohol and vapes. And it's right across the street from a high school. I don't get it, but it has a lot of junk food there too. And so kids go there and eat junk food quite often, but get good sleep, eating nutritious meals, exercising regularly, taking breaks to relax and recharge. Now that, be careful with that one, right? A lot of kids, they abuse their right to take breaks and relax and recharge and things like that. You know, I like the rule of like 20 minutes on, 5 minutes off, 20 minutes on, 5 minutes off. Especially when it comes to doing homework or long things. Oh, here comes yawn. Sorry. Anyway, next thing is to break up tasks into manageable steps. You know, teaching students how to break down large tasks and study materials, whatever, into smaller, more manageable steps to prevent feeling overwhelmed and increase feelings of accomplishment. For example, you hear the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. And the reason being that the elephant, the big project by itself, it's overwhelming, right? Whether it be the entire standardized test as a whole, or whatever section they're stressed about. And so breaking them into manageable steps, you know, okay, what do you need to study for? What specific subject is giving you stress? And how can you, study for that and prepare for that? Next one is use positive self-talk. This one is such an underrated technique. Just talking positively to themselves out loud in the mirror, encouraging students to challenge negative thoughts and replace them with good thoughts, positive affirmations, and encouragement, and reminding them that they are capable and resilient, and they can remind themselves that they're capable and resilient. Positive self-talk honestly can help resolve a lot of issues that our kids have. Along with mindfulness, that was the next one, practice mindfulness, introducing students to mindfulness practices like meditation, guided imagery, mindful breathing, exercises, just helping their mind and body connect is similar to breathing. The oxygen helps to reduce stress. Well, you know, being mindful, I'm yawning so much right now. But doing mindfulness activities, it helps connect their body and brain, and that also helps to release a lot of cortisol, clear the cortisol out, and to have more endorphins and dopamine and things like that in the body. Number six is establish a study routine. A lot of kids, they don't study And then they're super stressed and they wonder why they did horrible on their tests. And so helping students to create a study schedule, you know, talking to them about, okay, like I told kids, I had two notebooks, right? One for A day, one for B day. And at the end of each day, I would look at the back of the notebook and see what I had to do for that day. And I would be able to get things done. And was it perfect? No. Did I procrastinate still? Yes. But it helped me to organize just a little bit. And when I had things coming up, when I saw that I had a test coming up in 8 weeks, I knew that I need to study every single night, just 10, 15 minutes, the materials of that test for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And then the last 3 weeks going over specific things. And then the night before doing absolutely nothing. And then feeling stressed still, but doing okay. Then obviously the last one is seeking social support, encouraging students to reach out to friends, family members, teachers, of course, school counselors for support and encouragement. You know, having a strong support network really helps students to cope with the stress more effectively. Now, if we're talking about, you know, student stress with standardized testing, that's really only half of the picture, because the other half of the picture is teachers and parents. You know, it can be stressful for teachers too. And so let's talk about how supports for teachers and parents. Teachers, they can create a supportive classroom environment, encouraging teachers to foster positive, inclusive classroom culture where students feel valued, respected, supported. You know, a positive classroom is a non-anxious classroom. And then as well, they can offer flexible accommodations. They kind of have to with 504s, but advocate for teachers to provide flexible accommodations and supports for students during testing season, like extended time, quiet spaces for breaks, or alternative assessment methods. And if you have students that have 504s or IEPs, their IEP coordinator will work with the school to make sure they have their accommodations for the tests. We can also provide professional development, advocating for professional development opportunities for teachers to learn about stress management techniques, trauma-informed teaching practices, and strategies for supporting students' mental health and well-being. You know, we can offer workshops, webinars, training sessions, whatever, to help teachers to also be able to have mindfulness, to also help them to manage stress and things like that. Obviously, this one says foster open communication, and that's like a big duh. Like, yes. We need to be transparent and have clear communication with parents and teachers. You know, encouraging teachers, sorry, that's like my fifth yawn today. Encouraging teachers to communicate openly and transparently with parents about students' progress, their challenges, their support needs during testing season, everything. Because as teachers work with parents, parents work with teachers. We got to stop acting like we're on two separate islands. We are on the same team. And if we can provide resource and guidance on effective communication strategies, conflict resolution is going to work itself out. Obviously, we can help teachers collaborate with school counselors, you know, promoting a collaboration between the teachers and the counselors to identify students who may be struggling with stress or anxiety and to develop appropriate interventions and supports. Encourage the teachers to refer students to counselors, you know, for additional support and resources. And I want to put in there, too, that we are not anyone's permanent therapist. A lot of teachers try and treat us like that. A lot of IEPs try and treat us like that. But we are no one's permanent therapist. We are no one's therapist. We are not licensed therapists. And we need to stop acting like it sometimes. We are there to help kids, to be the band-aid, to keep them alive mentally or literally until they can get bigger help. But we are not a permanent part of anyone's emotional IEP. And we need to remember that. We can set some boundaries and we don't have to burn ourselves out on all of our emotional needy kids. And then lastly, is probably the most important in my opinion, is engaging parents as partners, providing parents with all the information, resources, strategies for supporting their children's mental health and well-being during testing season. Talking to them is going to help so much because when you have buy-in from parents, you have buy-in from the community. Offer workshops, parent education sessions, or just informational materials on topics like stress management or studying, coping skills, whatever. And parents will want to be on your side because they're seeing that you are working with them to help their kids. You know, these strategies and supports, they can help students, teachers, and parents effectively manage stress and support mental health and well-being during these standardized testing seasons. And yes, this time of year can be stressful, but that doesn't mean that it has to get us down. You know, guys, we only have a few weeks left. We only have a few weeks left. Guys, you got this. I believe in you guys. We're going to get this done. Your students are going to make it, and everything's going to be just fine. And then we're going to be on to a new school year. new things are going to be coming, and I'm so excited for every single one of you guys. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. Hope you guys have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Sounding Board. Email The Sounding Board at utschoolcounselor.org to send us your questions and ideas. If you like our podcast, please rate and review our show. It helps other school counselors to find us. Links and additional information for any references from today's episode are in our show notes. Check out our website at utschoolcounselor.org, where you can listen to past podcast episodes, register for any of our professional development opportunities, and become a member of the Utah School Counselors Association. USCA members also receive a bi-monthly newsletter to stay up to date on current Utah school counseling news, events, and issues. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Utah School Counselor and on Twitter at USCA Tweets. The mission of the Utah School Counselors Association is to support professional school counselors in their work for students through advocacy, professional development, recognition, and support. This podcast would not be possible without the support of our members. We'll have more ideas to share with you next week. Let's go!